Right now, it is time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library and joins us here in the studio for our Wednesday afternoon tradition. How are you?
I am tired. I'm just going to tell you.
I'm super tired.
We're all tired.
It's the end of the week, right?
Like, yeah.
We're on the downslope.
Tomorrow's
slope.
Saturday, right?
Sure.
Sure.
Tomorrow is Saturday if we all collectively right now agree that tomorrow is Saturday.
Well, you and I can.
Day, really?
I know, right?
Yeah. Like, if nobody comes to work tomorrow, then we're all good, right?
Except tomorrow's actually Thursday.
It is actually Thursday.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in the words of my assistant director at the library, Megan Rosen, in her mind, it's not Thursday; it's pre-Friday. So today
like
is actually pre-Friday.
That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just got back from Lawrence, Kansas. I was there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and thanks to Blake Hodge and AJ for filling in for me for the last couple of days. I'm excited to talk to you, especially this week, because you, prior to being the director of the Chapel Hill Public Library, were the director of the Lawrence Public Library and spent how many years in
I was the marketing
Lawrence?
Director
marketing
there.
Director.
Yes.
Okay.
So I worked there for, gosh, 4 or 5 years,
okay.
I think. Is that maybe
yeah.
close to that-ish, 4 or 5 years-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just spent 48 hours like going all over Lawrence and seeing and doing everything there is to see and do and taking lessons back with us about what is similar, what is different, what they're doing better than we're doing, what we're doing better than they're doing, and how it compares. So what's your impression? You've lived in both cities now for several years. What can we learn from Lawrence?
Oh, gosh, it's really interesting. So I'll tell you a couple of things and probably not answer any question about
That's,
who's better, even though
yeah.
Chapel Hill's way better.
Oh,
I mean,
of course,
what?
Yeah.
I just answered the question. So observations. When I moved out there, I was like, Lawrence is just like Chapel Hill. So we had lived here for 5 or 6 years,
right.
moved out there for 5 or 6 years, came back. And then when I moved back, I was like, they're so different. So one thing, when I flew out here when I came out for the job interview and I went back to Lawrence and everybody's like, how was it going back? What's changed? What's the same? I was like, I'd forgotten how many trees there are.
Mm.
And everybody's like, we have trees. And I was like, no, you don't have trees like Chapel Hill has trees.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
like landscape geography, and Lawrence is the hilly part of Kansas.
Yes. Insofar as there's that
one
hill. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which I walked up a couple times. That hill is no joke.
Because like, you guys were staying at the hotel up top,
we were staying
right?
At the
Oread.
Yes.
So other landscape things that we talked about a little bit, you know, like here, if you want to go someplace that's not Chapel Hill, you can hop over to Durham. You can get to Raleigh. You can go to Carrboro, Hillsboro. In Lawrence, if you want to go to somewhere that's not Lawrence, you have to go to like Kansas City or Topeka.
No one goes to
or
Topeka.
Mostly Kansas City.
Yeah.
which is like a good hour away and is a big, big, big city. So it's like, I think in part Lawrence is so cool because it's so isolated and they've doubled down on everything in that town is going to be there. It's really fun. It's cool because otherwise you have to drive somewhere to find
right,
cool.
Right. Yeah.
And I also think with the downtown, I'll be curious to hear what folks say. There's so much green space downtown. There's open space downtown. I don't know how much y'all spent, but downtown there, Mass Street is flanked by two big, big city parks, like massive parks.
Yeah.
And then there's pocket parks in between. One of my favorites, I don't know, you guys probably didn't have occasion to go there, but there's a little pocket park that they have very strong sister cities programs there. And one of them is in Japan. And there's like a Japanese garden pocket park there that is just so cool. That was like the Brown family's favorite spot. Downtown.
Nice.
So what did you think? What's different? What's the same?
I got the exact same impression about Lawrence being isolated and having to like cram all of the cool stuff into one city. It's an advantage and a disadvantage, right? Because if you're in Chapel Hill and you want to go somewhere else that's cool, you've got six different cities really nearby to choose from. Kind of the economic advantage of Lawrence being isolated is if you've got someone who comes to Lawrence and they fall in love with a place and they want to move there, they want to put their business there, they're putting their business there. They're not putting their business like right across the town lines or the county lines, and then you're dealing with tax revenue issues and all of that. So they got that advantage. But yeah, like having to get in the car and drive on a toll road an hour to get to Kansas City would kind of weigh on you after a while.
Yep.
Like Raleigh's half that distance, and that's a distance, right? Like we don't go to Raleigh very often. We do, but if there was nothing in between here and Raleigh, that would be uncool.
Yes,
yeah.
And I'll also tell you that when we were there, there were a couple of times when we had occasion to really drive west in the state.
Mm-hmm.
So you get past Topeka,
right,
and then there's a long stretch until I think it's Wichita, and then there's just nothing. I mean, it's so fascinating to like drive this flat landscape with just cows.
Because at that point,
cows,
you're in the prairies on either
so
side.
So many cows.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to hearing from folks who went and all the different stakeholders, their thoughts, their perspectives,
cool.
What they saw.
Hey, if you're listening out there and you want more information on Lawrence, Kansas, you can head to our website, chapelboro.com, where I've got three, not one, not two, not six, but three pieces up on the web, one for each day, with a lot of these, and I'm really happy to hear you confirming a lot of the thoughts that I had and a lot of the thoughts that we just sort of generally had on the trip about Lawrence, because it's hard if you're there for 48 hours to really pick up a sense of what it's like, but what you're saying is what I felt and what we heard and what we talked about amongst ourselves, too.
Yes,
so that's
and
cool.
A question and a comment. The question is, so I have not read those pieces yet, but I did hear you in the mornings on the radio with Ron Stutz while I was driving my kids to school. And then I was like, oh, wait, if this is live, it's like 5:30 out there.
It was 6:30 at the time.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
it was pretty early.
Yeah, you sounded a little bit sleepy.
I might have still been actually in bed having those conversations, having set my alarm for approximately 3 minutes before I
there
was supposed to pick up the phone and make the call.
And then the other thing is, I don't know what y'all ate out there, but there's no question in my mind, Carolina barbecue kills Kansas City barbecue. It's way better.
Oh, yeah, we skipped right over the
barbecue.
Okay, good. We did. We didn't while we were in, we were briefly in Kansas City. We didn't eat barbecue there, but I have had Kansas City barbecue. It is very good, but yeah, Chapel Hill is better.
Right?
And I hate vinegar. I hate it so much. The smell of it, it just disgusts me. When I came down to Carolina for the first time, it's like, have this vinegar-based barbecue. I'm like, I'll take your word for it. And then I tried it, and it was fantastic.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about with books?
Well,
actually,
first of all, I was going to tell you, you aren't the only one who's been busy,
ooh,
buddy.
Have you
Here's
also
why
been busy?
I'm no, I don't know who I was talking about, but I assumed that there was somebody else out there. No, I'm tired. Thanks for asking, because we've just had a whirlwind while y'all were all gallivanting.
Gallivanting.
Yeah. We weren't here lollygagging. See what I did there?
It's good.
We have had a busy couple of days, and I'm so bummed that so many folks had to miss so much of what happened. So let me catch you up. Friday night at the Chapel Hill Public Library, we had our Banned Books Trading Card launch party, which was, I think, the biggest crowd yet. There were like 200 people in the lobby of the Chapel Hill Public Library. It was awesome. We recognized the artists. It was great. And we debuted the bus. So we took the 7 card winners this year, and partnered with our good friends at Chapel Hill Transit, and we are featuring them on a bus. Now, you may have seen this on Twitter. I don't know if you've caught up with all your social media, but the bus pulls up. We're so happy. They come right at 7. There's all of these people there. The lovely bus driver pulls up, and this one kid runs by, who's a regular at the library, and he says, they spelled books wrong. And I was like, oh, you funny guy. He's just joking. And then they parked the bus, and lo and behold, on the back of the bus, they spelled books wrong.
How did they spell it?
So they didn't actually spell it wrong. So here's what we found out.
Uh-huh.
It was an error in the application of the vinyl. So they overlapped the two O's. So it said 2018 banned box trading cards.
That's wonderful.
It was great. So immediately everybody's like, holy cow, look at this. Everybody's taking their pictures. So I said, Daniel, my marketing dude, I was like, tweet it now. I was like, grab a picture. We're going to be the first ones to tweet this. So we did. We all had a laugh about it. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And then our friends at Transit fixed it immediately. So right now, like today, you should see the bus out there on the road with great art and proper spelling.
did you give the kid who discovered, like, that's the hero of The Emperor
no
Has
one's
No
seen
Clothes,
him since
right?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
Like, that's the one who's like, they spelled books wrong on the bus. Like, that's the hero of
right,
the story.
Exactly.
Does he get a free book from the bookstore or something? Like, he should.
Of course.
Yeah.
We showered many gifts upon him. He got some cupcakes at the party.
Okay, that's good. That's
and if he
good.
Didn't see it, I mean, he just happened to be the first one to see it.
Someone's got to be the first.
That's right. Uh-huh. So after that, Saturday, we had a ribbon cutting for our pollinator garden and a monarch release party. And like 200 people came and stood outside in the hot, hot sun to see our good friends at the North Carolina Botanical Garden cut the ribbon on our pollinator garden, which
nice.
Is outside of the library. But then this wonderful couple, Bruce Taggart and his wife, whose name just left me, are a couple from Hillsboro who raise monarchs and do education. They brought monarchs, and kids were just fascinated. There was one grown-up who was like kind of weeping, like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It was awesome.
Monarch butterflies are beautiful.
It's just cool.
Yeah.
And they talked about, then they had like a presentation, and kids got to like touch them. It was really, really neat. And then Sunday morning, I dragged myself down to Franklin Street early to watch the installation of Red Ball.
Right.
Red Ball on, so Red Ball, this is its last day, actually. Probably in the next hour, they'll be taking it down, and it will never come back to Chapel Hill. Red Ball only visits one city one time. Mm. This was the big public art project that came by. So I got to hang out and see people react to that on Franklin Street Sunday morning. And then yesterday we had Red Ball at the library.
Nice.
And that was awesome.
Yeah.
And again, we had the artist-only public talk was yesterday at 4 o'clock, and there were like 100 and 150 people out there celebrating the art and the Ackland. It was great. So
and,
that's my excuse for being
and
tired.
And someone from the library actually took a legitimately good picture of our news director,
that
Blake
was me.
Cox. That was you?
That was
that's
me.
That's the first really good picture of Blake, I think, that has existed.
He did not want to do it. So I
know
I saw
he didn't
him coming
do it.
In. I was like, get out there. He's like, nah. I was like, do it now. I just bossed him around.
He looked
and he
like
did
he was
it.
Genuinely happy to be in the picture.
The Red Ball made everybody happy. You
imagine,
can't be
yeah.
cranky near the Red Ball. It was awesome. And then tomorrow night, mm-hmm. we have our Banned Books Week author program where we have Keith Knight and Zelda Lockhart talking about not so much reading controversial things, but writing controversial mm-hmm. things and the freedom of expression. So
like Banned Books Week from the author's perspective.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's tomorrow night at 6.
Yep.
So that's my week.
Cool.
So what are we going to talk about?
Let's
for
talk
books?
About Kansas.
Let's talk about Kansas.
Yeah. Okay.
That's our prompt.
That's
right?
our prompt. Like Kansas stuff. So Kansas authors, books set in Kansas, Kansas themed things.
Yeah.
Flatness.
There you, cows.
Cows.
Pasture
prairies,
land,
yes.
prairies. Okay,
done.
You go first.
All right, cool. So I had to run a trivia thing for this chamber visit on Monday night, which was a lot of fun, and it gave me the opportunity to get on Wikipedia at midnight the night before and very quickly make up a whole bunch of questions about Lawrence, Kansas, which enabled me to like get the full list of all of the really cool people who have passed through Lawrence at some point in their lives, like Jim Thorpe and who else? The brothers from Supernatural are from
oh, yeah.
Lawrence
yes.
because there's a haunted cemetery just west of town, which we did not visit, and I'm kind of sad about that. Also, one of the greatest poets in American history, Langston Hughes, spent part of his childhood in Lawrence, Kansas, before going on to become one of the greatest American poets. So I'm just going to recommend Langston Hughes's poetry in general. If you want one in particular, The Negro Speaks of Rivers, which never fails to choke me up when I read it. And it's only like 10 lines long. So what he's able to pack into such a short space is just incredible.
So yes to that.
Yes.
And the only poem that I know by heart is a Langston Hughes poem.
Is it Dream Deferred or is
nope.
it? Nope.
It's a poem called Motto. And I probably shouldn't share this, probably in part because I think my parents are listening and maybe your parents are too. But I learned this poem because it was taped to the tip jar at a pub in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Yes.
We may have talked about it before. It's short, so here it goes. The poem is called Motto.
I've got it pulled up so I can check your work.
Okay. Uh-oh, the pressure. I play it cool and dig all jive. That's the reason I stay alive. My motto as I live and learn is dig and be dug in return.
Very nice.
Did I nail it?
Yeah.
Nailed it. So that's my connection to Langston Hughes. That's the only poem that I know by heart.
That's good.
There you go.
Awesome.
Okay. So on the completely opposite end of the spectrum, there's classic, deep American poetry, you know, engaging in, you know, major issues and struggles. I'm going to recommend an author who lives in Kansas who I really, really enjoyed while I was living there. She's one of these authors who started out blogging, and then she's turned that blog into books. And while I was there, I believe her first book came out, and we hosted her at the library while I was there. Her name is Jen Mann, and both her blog and her books, or one of her books is called People I Want to Punch in the Throat. So she writes this very, very funny, snarky, irreverent, sarcastic series of blogs. And it really, really took off. I think the one we hosted her for, she turned a series of her blog posts into a book called I Just Want to Pee Alone, which was about parenting, sort of a very realistic approach to parenting. She has since published a book called Working with People That I Want to Punch in the Throat, which is all about workplace characters and relationships. And so she lives in Kansas. I'm not sure how many folks here know about her, but if you like David Sedaris or any of this kind of commentary, the kind of sarcastic commentary, I recommend Jen Mann, her blog, and her books, People I Want to Punch in the Throat. Because don't we all have people that we want to punch in the throat?
That might be a Lawrence thing. I don't because I don't know if I should share this story, so I'll just do it with absolutely no names whatsoever. On the trip, I'm talking with everyone. One person at some point on the trip mentions, there is someone on this trip that I just want to punch in the face, and I am just withholding all, like, holding myself. I never found out who. I want to know.
A punch in the face is different from a punch in the throat.
Punch in the face might be, that's a different thing. Yeah.
Anyways, cool. Jen Mann, she's very funny.
All right. So my only other one is What's the Matter with Kansas by Thomas Frank, which came out, 15 years ago. And it's that kind of why do kind of working class, lower class people vote for Republicans with the tax policy that favors the wealthy, very kind of populist from the left argument. But Thomas Frank really kind of captures that. I honestly don't know if I went back and read it again with 15 years hindsight, like if it would still hold up or if it's really a product of its time, but it was really good at the time. And it still kind of captures something that's going on right now. So that's my only other one.
Okay. My other one that I'm going to talk about is an author, Laura Moriarty. So Laura lives in Lawrence. I think she was raised there. I forget. I think she's a native Kansan, but she certainly lived in Lawrence. I believe she's still there. Wonderful writer. So her first couple books were sort of, many of them had young girls as the protagonists. They were sort of literary, maybe women's fiction that you might call them, really popular with book groups. She had a book called The Center of Everything, a book called While I'm Falling. They were very, very popular book club books. But the one that I want to highlight is her book that came out right as I was leaving Lawrence called The Chaperone. Sorry. And The Chaperone is historical fiction. I'm pretty sure, I don't think it's been done yet. It got picked up for like a PBS miniseries. Maybe, I want to say maybe the guy that did Downton Abbey might have been attached to it. I don't think they have done it yet. But if you like historical fiction, it's fabulous. The story of it is a young Louise Brooks, who was a very famous silent film star with that black bob and the red lips and everything. This is the story of when she left Wichita, Kansas, as a young girl. She was sort of up and coming. I think she was 15. And she goes to New York to study at a famous dance school. And she's already pretty precocious and kind of the person that she's going to be later. But this is the story of her family sends with her a chaperone, Cora. And so this is all about that period of time, the early life of this film star, the relationship of, you know, kind of not quite the upstairs downstairs thing, but the servant and then the, you know, wealthy person. It's a fabulous book. It's really, really good. So if you like fiction set in the Jazz Age, if you like fiction with females as the main character, and if you like things that are going to end up, I think, on Masterpiece Theater, I would definitely recommend that book and all of Laura's books.
And those are our Kansas recommendations.
There you
have
it.
Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.